This oral history is being conducted for the Boynton Beach City Library. The interview is with Teresa Padgett. Today is August 10th, 1992, and I'm the interviewer, Kara Newman, FAU intern.
Teresa Padgett.
May I ask your date of birth?
May 11th, 1921.
When did you come to Boynton Beach?
1947.
Why did you come here?
Well, that's a long story. My brother-in-law, John Lamb, had a farm out west of town on 441. And he needed some help. He was getting up in years, and he thought my husband could come down and help him run this 600-acre farm, which he had to learn about after we came, because neither of us knew anything about a farm. But we moved here in 1947 and lived out on 441 for several years and helped him run the farm until he sold it.
Did you come from a farming background?
Well, no, not really. I came from Tennessee originally, but Florida farming is entirely different than anywhere else, I think. And my husband got onto it real fast and did a good job helping him run the farm. Of course, I did the bookkeeping. And I had, we came to Boynton with just one daughter. Then we had two daughters here in Boynton. So I only had the one at the time. And I did the bookkeeping and the gopher work, always running errands for them. But it was fun. It was a different world.
What did they raise on the farm?
Beans, squash, and pepper.
How long did you do that?
Oh, well, let me see. I started work for the city in 1952. So about 4 years.
Why did you start to work for the city?
Another long story. I went in to put up a meter deposit, and I knew one of the girls in the office. There was only three in City Hall at that time. And she said, "Don't you want to help us out a little while? We've just gotten a new piece of equipment, and we're setting up the tax roll on the this addressograph and so forth." Well, my youngest daughter was only, wasn't quite a year old yet. And I said, "Well, if I can find a good person to take care of Deb, I'll come in and help you a little while." And that little while ended up with 31 years.
What positions have you held with the city? Job titles.
Job titles? Well, I started out as a clerk. Then I became chief clerk. I served as tax assessor, tax collector, acting city manager. But from 49 until I retired, I was city clerk.
What are the responsibilities of a city clerk?
Well, actually in the beginning, the city clerk's office was the hub of city government because we had the city council, and everything was through the city clerk's office. There was no city manager in the early years. But in the city clerk's office, we issued beach decals. We issued licenses, occupational licenses. Of course, we kept the records, attended all council meetings, and served as secretary to the council.
Tell me about the beach decals. When did they start? Why did they start?
Well, we did not have enough parking space, of course, for everybody. And even with the decals, you don't have enough space. But at least it gave the citizens of Boynton more of an opportunity to be able to park with a decal, than because you have a lot of visitors from the north, and if there was no restrictions on them, those parking places was always taken. And it did help the residents of Boynton have a better chance at parking.
Tell me a little bit about the changes in governing Boynton Beach. Why did the city change from a 3-man commission to a 5-man commission? Was that during your time?
No, it's been 5 since my time. I don't even remember back in, I have my list here of council members, but let's see when it changed. This was my, okay, it changed in 1948. In 1948, there was 5 council members.
Do you have any recollection as to why it changed?
No, I don't really. I really don't.
Did it change to an elected mayor at the same time?
The council members elected their mayor in the beginning, later on, the mayor was elected. The person with high vote was made mayor, and now they run for mayor separately.
Do you have any recollection as to why they're running for mayor separately now, how that change came about?
Well, sort of public demand, I think. It seemed to work pretty well when they elected the mayor among themselves, but at least this gives the people that opportunity.
Can you tell me a little bit about the volunteer fire department, why it became a city department?
Well, I think as the town grew and people were working more out of town and farther away from the city, it became necessary to have a, because it, when we were down at the old city hall on US 1 where the Centennial Park is now, many times you could hear, see the firemen leaving their jobs and following those sirens because we had a signal at that time. And even there in City Hall, there was only 3 of us working, well, 4 when I went, made 4 in the old City Hall. And we would know by that alarm where the fire was, whether it was in southeast, northeast, northwest, southwest. And then the firemen would know which direction. If they were in that area, they would know not to come into the station. They would know to check and go from their point. But as the city grew and became larger, it was not possible. But they did a terrific job, those volunteer firemen. They deserve a lot of credit over the years.
Can you tell me how the police department has changed since you've been here?
They are quite a bit larger because at one time there was only a couple of cops and the chief. and even when they'd bring a lady prisoner in, one of us from City Hall would have to go over and frisk them. So we've had all sorts of experiences, believe me. And even sat in a house one night for, I believe that was when Boots Carver was chief. He needed a lady to sit in this house while they checked and were waiting for some action in the neighborhood. And guess who did that? So we've had varied experiences, I tell you. Some that you've forgotten and some you still laugh about. But it was a small town and everybody pulled together. If there was a job to be done, we did it. And it didn't matter if it was in our job classification or not back then. We did everything. But the police department, of course, has grown and certainly is more polished and everything than it was in the early years. But they did a good job back then, and I think they're doing a good job now.
What about the growth of some of the other city departments, like recreation and parks? How has that changed?
Certainly growth is the biggest thing, I'll tell you. And when we were smaller, everybody helped everybody else, and in whatever department they needed help. And certainly the program has enlarged tremendously over the years.
Can you tell me anything about attracting business to Boynton Beach?
Well, over the years, I think the council worked with the chamber considerably, and at times there was tax consideration given if they brought a business into the city, and they could be exempt on taxes for a short while to, you know, induce them to come into Boynton. And certainly they tried to cooperate with businesses as far as possible. And of course, the zoning back in the prior years were not as strict as today. The building codes were less restrictive, and that sort of thing made a difference. But as the town grows, it has to get stiffer rules.
Do you recall which businesses got tax inducements to come here?
I don't really.
Can you tell me anything about the formation of a hospital here?
Well, I remember it growing, starting out growing, and a lot of it was through volunteer work too. But I really don't have details. I've made it a habit over my years in service with the city not to guess at things. If I couldn't look in my desk and get the date, we just looked for it until we found it. So I don't remember dates. That's one thing I am not good at.
You've got some notes in front of you about past city officials. Can you tell me a little bit about that? About anything you'd like to put into the record?
Well, not actually. It's just a listing of all the council members and judge and police chief, that sort of thing, that I've just kept over the years that always proved helpful. Because actually, during my almost 31 years of service, I worked under 25 mayors, and I don't know how many different council members, because you change real often. And I think during that time we had I worked under 8 city managers and several acting. So it's a long story. Of course, every one of them, you remember, you know. Stories about the ones who worked for, but all in all, it was a good group. And my theory was that whether it was a councilman, a mayor, that whether I voted for them or not, once they were elected, they deserved my support. And I just always tried to do that. It didn't matter if I approved of that person being elected or not. Once they were elected, I think that every city employee owes that to any elected official.
Do you have any stories about past mayors that you'd like to share?
Not really, because all in all, during that time, they were all a very good group. I think I had one mayor that thought I'd been around long enough, and he sort of thought that it was time for me to move on. But somehow or another, it didn't happen. I had very good support in the city, and I think enough people talked to him that he changed his mind. And before he retired, he was one of the best friends I had, and he said he made a mistake. So that made me feel good. But all in all, I had a great group to work with. I enjoyed my 31 years. Wouldn't want to do it again, but I certainly enjoyed while I was there. And I always had the attitude that if whatever a person's problem was, that was the problem of the day. That was the biggest problem, was their problem at the moment. I might have to come back that night and do my desk work, But I was always there to listen and try to help them with their problem. And I've never regretted that, because to me, that's what I was there in the city for, was to help people. And I tried to instill that in my department, that was their job, to help the people. And I think it was the right thing to do.
Sam Wilbride spoke about politics before civil service. Can you tell me how how civil service affected you?
Well, the department heads were not under civil service in the beginning, and then later they were. I was not civil service when I started to work, but there is protection in civil service. Because, as you know, oftentimes a council comes in, they want to make a clean sweep and start all over again. But that's not for good government, because you need a continuity. And civil service sort of prevents that from happening.
Can you tell me anything about integration here?
It is happening, but it's sort of slow, I think. People find it difficult. But I think the schools, I really don't think it's helped our situation. The idea is good, but I think they are happier in their own surroundings. I don't think that integrating the schools has proven anything. I think they were happier, and I really think if they had their choice now, they would rather stay in their own schools. I've had so many people say that it really hasn't helped them, and then when they get ready to go to college, they want to go to an all-black college. Mm-hmm. So there's a toss-up if it was a good move or not.
Do you recall any civil rights protests when you were in government?
Yes. In fact, we had a march on City Hall one time.
Can you tell me about that?
And it wasn't anything severe, but a little scary, because you didn't know what was going to happen. But in our department, there was no difference. We helped everybody. We helped the rich, the poor, the disabled, the black, the white. Anybody came in, it didn't matter color, race, or creed. We were there to help them the same. But and when I retired, I had a good number of colored attend my retirement, which I appreciated, and was glad that I could help them.
Do you recall about what year the march on City Hall was?
No.
50s, 60s, 70s.
Let's see, probably the 60s. But you know, like I said, I don't try to remember dates or telephone numbers. If I can't look them up, I
Time magazine just did a cover story on the Cold War civil defense preparations. Do you remember any civil defense preparations that Boynton Beach had?
Each year, the fire chief used to serve as civil defense director. And about the only thing that I got involved in with the civil defense was the hurricanes. City Hall was what do you call it? A place for them to come to, shelter. And we always ran the shelter for that, and that's the only civil defense that I was involved in.
Can you tell me about the change in City Hall when it moved?
Well, we moved to the location, not the building that's there now, but the older building. We moved there in 1959. And then the remodeling has been done since I left.
What prompted the move?
Oh, outgrew our quarters. Yeah, we were very small down there on the highway, and didn't have enough room to expand. And the money was saved each year until when we moved into the City Hall on Poynton Boulevard, it was all paid for. And we didn't have a big problem with money at that time about building.
Quite a switch from today.
Yes. Quite a difference. Quite a difference.
Can you tell me about any other changes in the city that you recall as being memorable?
You know, when you see it grow gradually from 2,500 people to 45,000, it all happens step at a time. And you see these annexations and this sort of thing. And it all just falls in step. I think we should have been, had more foresight possibly, and instead of furnishing water and sewer to outside areas, I think we should have worked more on annexation to annex these areas when they wanted our service. And it would have made us grow into a very large city, but we wouldn't be facing the possibilities of small towns west of us. And since we're furnishing sewer and water, I think as far as we furnish sewer and water, they should become Boynton, part of Boynton, rather than being allowed to set up, which hasn't happened, but you see it happening other places.
Ann Barrett mentioned that you've been involved with the Women's Club. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, I have served as president of the Women's Club, and it was a very interesting year. Of course, I have missed presidents of too many organizations I've been in. They find you work, they put you to work, believe me. But we have done a lot of improvements through the foundation of the Women's Club, because it was a big undertaking for the women that held on to it all those years. It's a beautiful building. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting run down because of the expense of remodeling and this sort of thing. So we formed the foundation, and that's our goal, is to help take care of the building, help with the maintenance, because when we add this elevator and air conditioning, certainly it upped the cost of operation. But we wanted it to be back where it can be used in the community, not just as a club, but as it once was, the hub of culture in Boynton. Because used to every shower, everything was held at the Women's Club. But now with the air conditioning, I think it will go back to being used more for things like that.
What prompted you to join the Women's Club?
Well, of course, they had been after me for years while I was working to join, but they met during the day, and there was no way I could go. And so when I retired, I got an application and two retirement cards. So I said, well, okay, here I go. Because I had told them when I retired, I'd work. But I did enjoy it, and it's a good organization, and I still work with the foundation and with the Women's Club.
What year were you president?
2 years ago.
What stands out in your mind from that time?
Well, I think our biggest thing, we helped the children. We had a children's program that I thought, my year was based on education, And we had the, oh gracious, the title has left me. The group, oh, that's terrible. But anyway, they came from Forest Park School, and we met with them and showed them about the history, told them about the history of Boynton and the Woman's Club. And we had a program on conservation, had them one day a week for 6 weeks, I think. We had people that was involved in government that spoke to them. And Bernard Thomas, our local artist, he painted the mural there, and I was able to get him to be there and speak to the children. And he had also painted the murals in their school, at Forest Park School. So they were really excited about that. And we had the one conservation program. The gentleman from the Loxahatchee area came and brought owl and things like that and showed the students. So I thought it was a terrific week. I think that was the most outstanding program we had. And I will get you the name of that group, but right now it's left me. It has left me.
Is Bernard Thomas well enough to be interviewed?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I'd heard he had some health problems.
He has. He's been under the weather for quite some time, but I have a call into his wife now, and if, I don't know, they might be out of town, I'm not sure.
Is his wife still working as a principal?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, in Boca. And if I hear from her, I'll ask her if he could, because he's a terrific guy. Did such a beautiful job on that mural, and they dropped behind the in the stage upstairs. He did that in the Woman's Club. He just does a terrific job on, and he did for the Masons up in Lake Morris at the shrine. Oh, it's beautiful, the last something. Last Supper at the church, or at the Methodist church. Can't say enough for his good work.
Can you tell me anything about the Junior Woman's Club?
They are active. In fact, they're helping with a spaghetti dinner that's coming up next Sunday.
What does junior mean? Prior to age 21?
No, they can be a junior until they're what? I don't know if they even have an age limit anymore. It used to be 40, but they may not hold to that right now. And then we have the cirrhosis group. That's the night group. They're members of the Federated Women's Club.
A cirrhosis?
Mm-hmm.
What are the difference in the activities between the three groups?
Basically the same. They all are under the Florida group of Federated Clubs.
What about membership?
You mean numbers or?
Yeah, which group has the largest membership?
The Women's Club. Mm-hmm. The other, the cirrhosis is a smaller group. They meet at night, so that working women can be involved there. And then the juniors are younger girls and used to be very active in Boynton. They used to just set the town on fire. They had such good programs and sponsored the Miss Boynton Beach contests. And they left their tracks in Boynton, for sure.
Ann Barrett suggested that I ask you about the parking lot at the Women's Club. Can you tell me anything about that? Is that a little bit before your time?
It was before I was a member, but Ann Barrett was responsible for them getting that parking lot. Now, I actually can't say if she paid for it. That I don't know. I really don't know, but she was responsible for them getting it. See, the highway took a good bit off the front of the Woman's Club when they widened the highway, because it had a circular drive and was beautiful off the highway. And so when it went through, it took one corner off the building and the entrance. So they had to move the entrance to the south. And parking area is our biggest problem. We really need, because you have to, for a real big affair, you have to have valet parking and park elsewhere, and that makes it bad. We've been working on a few areas, hoping that we can find some additional parking, but nothing's come through yet.
Have you had other volunteer activities?
Oh, yes. I'm past president of the Auxiliary, American Legion Auxiliary, past president of the Seroptimist Club. I help in my church, First Baptist Church. In fact, we had Bible school all last week. I was there every night. And then we had the ice cream social for the whole church last night, so it's been a busy week. And I have I go to my sister-in-law's and stay with her while her lady that takes care of her has a day off. And I spend one day going down to see my sister in Fort Lauderdale, who's in a nursing home. And I call my car the Blue Chariot, because I'm always taking disabled people to the grocery store and to the doctor, things like that.
Tell me about your activities with the American Legion Auxiliary. What have you done?
Well, we help the post all that we can. I haven't been as active in that in the last few years. It sort of slowed down a bit. But we help the post in their endeavors, and we have dinners and things like that to help them. We used to help them serve their dinners when they cooked. And we make chair covers for the hospitals and things like that each year. And their ditty bags and things that we take down to the hospital.
What is the Seroptimist Club? How would you define that?
It is a group of businesswomen. It's a small group, but it's a classified club. And of course, when I retired as city clerk, they gave me life membership. So I'm still hanging in there and help them out a little bit.
What do they do now?
Well, like the home for mistreated women, abused women in Delray. We sponsor, help them a good bit every month financially and with things that they need. And we give a scholarship each year. And we give a TAP award to a lady that's beyond school age that is going back into the work world. And I said I've worked for enough scholarships in my lifetime that I should have a degree myself. Every time I turn around, I'm selling ads or selling tickets or help somebody to go to school. So it's been great.
How long have you been involved with the Baptist Church here?
Oh, since I moved here.
What activities have you participated in with the church?
Well, I have been, we had a small mission church down at 15th at one time, and I think I've served in almost every capacity except preach. I'm getting around to that. In my lifetime, not just here in this church, but I've served as Sunday school teacher, I've served as superintendent, I've been secretary, I've been general secretary, I've been BTU director. I've done just about everything, one time or another. Maybe not good, but I did it. But right now I'm just in my class over there. I'm enjoying a Sunday school class for a change. But we do good things. We take, we have a mission each quarter, actually. Like we sent cookies to the people that were away in service at the church, and cookies and candy and stuff like that. We stick in a box and send them. And one time we'll take down at the nursing home, Boulevard Nursing, we've taken cupcakes and goodies down to them. And if we know of a family that needs food, we get some money together and help out that way. So it's just a good group. There's about 20 to 24 women in this class, and it's really the first time I've sat in a Sunday school class and really took part in Sunday school, because I was always flitting around doing a job. So I said, no, it's my turn. So I really enjoyed it.
You've been involved with the library.
Well, not really. I filled out my application for Friends of the Library, and I've never turned it in. I haven't found time to do anything else, so I'm waiting.
You've been on the library board?
No. No, I haven't. I serve on the cemetery board for the city, but not the library board.
The cemetery board? What is the cemetery board?
We look after the cemetery and the cemetery fund. Because, see, we have this perpetual agreement. When those lots are sold, it says that the city will forever take care of them. So we're trying to hang on to our fund. It's very difficult, but we're working on it. Because after the lots are all sold and there's no families here to keep, you know, keep in touch or pay taxes to support them, and say, for instance, they open up a new cemetery, that the city has to start a new area. This one will sort of take a back seat. And we want it to always look nice, because it is a pretty cemetery, I think, one of the nicest one in the area.
What's the title of the cemetery?
Boynton Memorial Park. And so when I retired from the city, they made me a life member on the cemetery board. So see, they don't let me rest long. But it's fun. It's fun.
You said that, going back a little bit, you said you were born in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Did you grow up there?
I left. My family brought me to Florida when I was 4 years old.
What part of Florida?
Oh, well, we stopped in Fort Pierce and then went as far north as Daytona Beach, and that's where I went to school and graduated from high school.
You were in Florida during the Great Depression?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How do you remember that time?
Well, I don't remember a whole lot about depression, but I think we all learned to work, because I went to work in the afternoons when I was in the seventh grade in high school.
Doing what?
I helped my professor at school. Don't ask me, I couldn't type except with one finger, but I typed many an exam. And I was sort of his gopher. You know, I could run things off on the mimeograph machine and things like that. And so I started working in the afternoons when I was in seventh grade of school, and I worked until I retired in 1983. Of course, I think I've worked harder since then, but I don't get any pay. No pay.
You were 20 at the time of World War II, when it started.
Mm-hmm.
How do you remember the war years?
Well, that's the only time I moved around. I have been a one-job person all my life, I guess. But I was married in 1940, and my husband went into service in 42, and stayed in until 45.
Where did he serve?
He served in Florida, and Alabama, and North Carolina. We lived at the, he had his training, basic training in Jacksonville, the base up there, in the center part of the state, but Camp Blanding. So he had his basic there, and he went to Miami. We lived on the beach, and he was based in a hotel in Miami. And then he went to, he was assigned to chemical warfare, and he was over in Bushnell. And there was nothing to do over there. I worked in Miami at the export place there on Biscayne Boulevard. Found a job real easy there. But when we got to Bushnell, there wasn't a thing in the world to do but wait tables in a bar room. Well, that wasn't my cup of tea. So I didn't do anything. I remember we canned tomatoes over there. There's lots of tomatoes. And the people that we rented from, they had a tomato farm. So we canned tomatoes. I had enough canned tomatoes. I kept taking them home to my mother, and she said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with any more of these. But it was quite an experience. I'd never done that before either, so that was quite a stop. But during that time, I got pregnant. And I have to tell you this story. Probably shouldn't go on tape, but there was three couples of us. We had the three rooms upstairs in this lady's house, all three in service. And all three of us got pregnant. It was one joke, I'll tell you, but it was quite an experience. And he went from there. Oh, I missed Camp Seibert. He went to Camp Seibert, too, to be shipped overseas. And before he went to Bushnell, they lost his papers. I came back home because I worked up there for a while for on the payroll for Goodyear Rubber. They were building a plant there. And so I worked up there and came back home because he was being shipped overseas. Well, next thing I knew, by the time I got back, the MPs were in Daytona looking for Carl, my husband. They had put him in one section and his records in another. They thought he was over the hill. Anyway, so be it. He did not get shipped overseas. That's when he came back to Bushnell. But that was quite a story. Because I said, well, there's no way he could be gone because I just left up there. So anyway, they went back and he was in the other company and his records were another place. But he didn't go overseas, which he was disappointed.
But you were probably relieved.
Yes, I was right. But he was all revved up, ready to go overseas. And then he was shipped to Bushnell, and then from Bushnell to North Carolina, where he became an MP and was discharged.
Your husband was in the Army.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his name is Carl Padgett.
Mm-hmm. He's deceased.
What line of work was he in? He worked in the farm?
Yeah, and then he worked in construction. He was a lather.
You've got three children?
Three daughters. Had to import all my boys.
Tell me a little bit about them. Two of them were born in Boynton Beach?
Uh-huh. Well, actually, West Palm, because there was no hospital here. But we lived in Boynton, but they were born in West Palm. We didn't have a hospital then. Well, my oldest daughter, Sandra, she's employed by the South Central Wastewater Treatment Board now, here for the two cities of Boynton and Delray. She's another one that went down. This friend was running the operation at that time, Paul Startzman. And she had, I guess it was her third child. I don't remember anyway, one of her children. And Mr. Starchman asked me if I knew anybody could help him out for a few days. And I said, well, Sandy is getting ready to look for a job, but so she could probably help you out and then go look for the job. And so she went down to help him out for a few days. So she's been with the board ever since. So things happen that way. And she just finished after four children. And I don't know how many years of work. She finally got her four-year degree. I was real proud of her just a few weeks ago. And my middle daughter, Carolyn, is in Raleigh, North Carolina. And she works for the state of North Carolina.
She was born in the 1950s, late
40s? 1947. Sandy was born in 1946. And Carolyn, 47, almost 18 months apart. Sounds like just a year, but 18 months. And then Debbie was born in 1951. And she is in Marietta, Georgia. Her husband is with IBM. And she moved from Boca to... She lived here in Boynton, then moved to Delray, then to Austin, Texas. And from Austin, Texas, he was transferred to Marietta. And she just called me last night and told me that, she said, now I want you to take notice of that Atlanta flag at the Olympics. She said, I want you to know that she and her girlfriend, who's been working at the Olympics in Atlanta, they cut out the strips. I said, you mean we have another Betsy Ross? She said, no, I didn't sew it. She said, we just cut them out. But she said, I want you to know they're 99 feet long. So I thought that was interesting. Took two phone calls to do that. She called first, or her son did, and talked and wanted me to be sure and see the closing of the Olympics. And then she calls back and she said, I forgot to tell you the most important thing about the flag. But I've been very fortunate. I've had three beautiful girls. I told them many times, I didn't know what to do with them back as they were growing up. And now I don't know what to do without them.
When you came here in 47, did your home have electricity, telephone?
Oh, yeah. The only confusing part was we lived out west of Boynton, and we banked in Delray because there was not a bank here, not a good-sized bank then. No, wait a minute. Did we bank in Boynton? Anyway, we had to buy groceries in Delray. There was no big store in Boynton then, and our mailing address was Lake Worth. So if anybody came to, if anybody came to see us, it was most difficult. Yeah, we lived west of Boynton, but we bought groceries and shopped in Delray, and our mailing address was out of Lake Worth. Very confusing. No, we had a very comfortable home out on the rangeline. Just all the latest equipment and everything. In fact, it was interesting. There was nothing that is more beautiful than to see those tiny plants come up out of a straight row. It was just real educational. And, of course, my husband and my brother-in-law had cattle. So that oldest daughter of mine, nothing suited her more than to get on that horse with her daddy and go find a new calf. And her first question was, Daddy, does she have socks on? You know, their little feet are...